This is a free recording by Cambridge Qutbus, etc. We hope you enjoy and benefit from the content. Also, please consider donating to the new Cambridge Mosque. Please visit cambridgemosqueismoving.org.uk.
أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا يحسبن الذين يبخلون بما آتاهم الله من فضله هو خير لهم بل هو شر لهم سيطوقون ما بخلوا به يوم القيامة ولله ميراث السماوات والأرض والله بما تعملون خبير صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let not those who are miserly with that which Allah has given them out of His bounty think that that's best for them. On the contrary, it is worse for them. That which they hoard up will be hung around their necks on the day of arising. And to Allah is the inheritance of everything in the heavens and the earth, and Allah is all aware of what they do. In this ayah, we are reminded of two great things. Firstly, that Allah is al-warith. He is the inheritor. He is the one who finally comes into the inheritance of everything that we might proudly own. إِلَاللَّهِ تَسِيرُ الْأُمُورِ. To Him does everything go back. Whatever comes into our hands will one day let go of and pass on back to its true owner. At most, we can borrow things for a while. We can rent things, but we can never truly own anything that is in this earth. He alone is al-Malik, the owner, the king, the sovereign. And the other thing that this ayah tells us is that the fate of those who try to hold on to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them shall be a terrible one. On the day of judgment, when everything comes back into the inheritance of the Creator, the One, the Almighty, that which they tried to hold back from other people will be hung around their necks as a sign of their helplessness and of their humiliation and a reminder of the foolishness with which they dealt with Allah's creation. This is the vice of bukhl, of holding things back, of some foolish idea that one can truly be a ghani, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are in reality all fuqara, we are all absolutely needy of His bounty subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this month of Ramadan, when the egos are broken and our sense of sympathy for those who are truly poor and truly hungry and truly helpless and truly weak in this world becomes stronger than it usually is, the heart of the true Muslim naturally inclines towards sadaqah, this great virtue of charity. And this is particularly evident in the beautiful seerah of the Chosen One sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان أجود الناس وكان أجود ما يكون في رمضان ولا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود بالخير من الريح المرسلة. One of the Sahaba said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous of men. He was at his most generous during Ramadan. And Allah's Messenger was more quick to give good things than the speed of the wind when it is let loose. This is one of the things that the Muslim of a sound heart naturally inclines to in this month. The egos are broken, we're hungry, we know, temporarily perhaps, what it is genuinely to have nothing. And we learn the virtue of shukr or gratitude, because we do have something to give. Just as we have something on which to break our fast at the end of the day, bihamdillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, so also we have something to give. Almost everybody has something to give. اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ward off the fire, even if only with a piece of a date. In other words, the smallest amount of sadaqah anybody could imagine. وَإِن لَمْ تَجِدْ فَبِكَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ. And if you don't find even that, then with a good word. There are some people who do not have anything at all to give. Hard though that is for us, usually spoiled people living in the West, to imagine, that is the reality of some of our brothers and sisters in the Muslim Ummah and in the wider world. But those who do not have anything to give, then they still can give something, which is kalima tayyiba, a good word, to speak charitably. Particularly noble state for them, given that they are in this state of extraordinary maskana, or helplessness, or poverty. So there's a natural connection between Ramadan and the spirit of charity. And as though to remind us of this, even though the zakat can be given at any time of the year, there is one sort of zakat, which is also an obligation, which has to be given in the month of Ramadan before the Eid prayer, before the day of the Eid. It can be given, this is the Sadaqat al-Fitr, Zakat al-Fitr, on any day of Ramadan. It can't be given before Ramadan. And it becomes an obligation once the sun has set on the final day of the fast and the Eid begins. And this is part of the Sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because this Sunnah is never burdensome, we know that the total amount nowadays amounts to about £3 or £4 that we have to pay, if you're the head of a family, on behalf of every man, woman and child who is your dependent in a family. So for most of us this is almost nothing, but nonetheless it is there, and it is there as a symbolic reminder. A reminder that there is a greater zakat that we are also called upon to pay. So Ramadan is a time of khayr, and a time of giving, and a time of generosity. And the adab of giving is particularly stressed in Islam and in the Sunnah of the Chosen One sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know that we should give. What is the adab of giving? What should our inner state be? We know that every form of ibadah has an outward form and an inward reality. So that if your head is pressed to the ground in the direction of the Kaaba, but your heart is elsewhere thinking about something else, what kind of a prayer is that? Similarly, if you are making a donation to a charity, or helping a relative in need, or a student, or a sick person, or whoever it might be, but some niyya within you is not quite right, then something is false, something is polluted. This is not the purification that the zakat signifies, but just another way, perhaps, of feeling good about yourself, or of establishing yourself in the eyes of others. And this is why we get these ayat in the Qur'an, which are about the sirr and the alaniya, the secret and the public. And this is particularly the case for the virtue of charity. وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَىٰ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. If you hide it and give it to the poor people, then that is better for you. To conceal your sadaqat is actually better. It's permissible to give in public, and many of us do that. And in some situations, there may be no choice. If somebody comes to you in a majlis or in a family gathering and says, well, I need something for this, that, or the other situation, perhaps for a dependent, the correct adab in that situation is to give. Inshallah, if you have something, you give. Alani is not necessarily a bad thing. There is still a reward for that. But nonetheless, there is always a danger. The niyyah is more at risk where there are other people watching, because we are so weak, and because the nafs, the shaitan, the hawa, are so often keen to pollute our intentions, particularly when we're doing something that, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is so noble, which is the giving of amal to people more needy than ourselves. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَعْمَلُ بِالْعَمَلِ فِي السِّرِّ فَيَكْتُبَهُ اللَّهُ لَهُ سِرًّا. That a servant of Allah does something, does a good action secretly, and this is written in the sight of Allah as a secret action. فَإِنْ أَظْهَرَهُ نُقِلَ إِلَى الْعَلَانِيَةِ. If he then makes it public, having done it secretly, then it is considered to be in that category of public charity. It's a less high category, but it's still a category of charity, and there's still khair in it. وَإِنْ تَحَدَّدَ بِهِ كُتِبَ رِيَاءً. If he speaks about it, then it's taken out of this realm of secret and public, and it becomes for him a form of ostentation. In other words, even though he's giving of what he earns and perhaps of what he needs, he's sinning. He's actually losing from the transaction. And that's the danger, because riya, ostentation, doing something in order to get people to magnify oneself rather than for the good pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who alone is really worthy of praise, is a kind of shirk khafif, it's a kind of hidden shirk, because you are saying that there is more than one in this creation who deserves to be praised. You want, as it were, to get in the way of the Qibla, and this is a haram thing in Islam, to show off with anything, and particularly in this area where purity is so important, where the name of the rukn, of the ibadah itself, is zakat, which means purity. It's so important that we get our intentions right. So how do we do it? How can we be quite sure that nobody knows and that our intention is right? This is much harder and involves much more soul-searching than just checking the bank balance to see what we can spare. This is where the element of ibadah really comes into its own. Well, some of the early Muslims, radiallahu anhum, used to get around this by saying, I will give only to blind people. The blind person won't know who I am, there's no danger that my intention is going to be polluted. Others would say, I will put it in the path of a beggar, because I know he's going to go around the corner in 2 minutes, he'll pick it up, he won't know that I did it, so my intention will be safeguarded. Others will go to beggars when they're sleeping and fold in a corner of their clothes some money. Different ways in which the ulama and the great ones of the early ummah used to do this, and it's a sign of their sincerity, that they were so worried that despite their high degree, their ibadah might be polluted by ostentation or feeling good about what they were doing, that they would make sure that nobody at all knew that they were giving sadaqah. And there are modern ways of doing this. You can put money nowadays into somebody's bank account anonymously if you pay in cash, and they have no means of knowing where it comes from. That would be a modern equivalent. But the Quran doesn't just stop there. It says there's another way of messing up your sadaqah. لَا تُبْتِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. Do not invalidate your charities through man and adha. What are these two things? Man really means, as it were, proclaiming your own superiority when you are giving somebody something. Here you are, you poor little man. I feel so sorry for you. Look how grand I am. Aren't you jealous of me? That would be an example of man. And adha is to say, why are you poor? It must be your fault. Why don't you go and get a job? Whatever the reality of that person's situation is, if the intention is sadaqah, then you're invalidating the sadaqah by making them feel bad. So some of the ulama say al-manu and tastakhdimahu bil-ata, that man is to turn somebody, as it were, into your servant by giving them something, to make them indebted to you, as if they owe you something as a result, as if you've really done them a favour, make them feel bad and guilty. وَالْأَذَى أَنْ تُعَيِّرَهُ بِالْفَقْرِ. And أَذَى, causing harm, is to reproach somebody for being poor. So these are the two things that Allah in His book is warning us against when we engage in this great practice of sadaqah. How can we avoid this? Well, again, if we look at the lives of the early Muslims, we find amazing things, things that to us might seem strange. For instance, it's narrated that Imam al-Shafi'i, radiallahu anhu, when he offered some sadaqah, he would always do it by holding out his hands with money in it. And the reason for this was that the beggar would come and take it out of his hand. Why was this? So that Imam al-Shafi'i was, as it were, saying to the beggar, please do me a favour. You were doing me a great service. Because after all, what is this but discharging Allah's right? The zakat is the right of the poor. You should honour the poor person, because the poor person is actually helping you to discharge an obligation of the religion. That you are purifying yourself of excess wealth on which you might be called to account by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it's not zakat wealth, because you don't quite need it. And so the beggar, the poor person, the needy, are actually doing you a favour by taking this off your hands. And so he would insist that the beggar's hand should be above his hand when he was offering his sadaqah, radiallahu anhu. These are the adab of some of the early Muslims. We need to be very careful, because it's very easy for us to assume that because we're going through the motions of the religion, that the inner practice is also correct. But very often that's not the case. And look at the charity industry today. Look at the way in which the rich countries help the poor countries. Look at the ostentatious way in which they proclaim to the world, aha, Kuwait is giving so many millions for earthquake relief. And there's a big website, and they hand out booklets and tell everybody about it. Aha, look, Italy is donating so much for the Armenian earthquake. This is all men and other. This is all ostentation, and none of this can be truly for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all about politics. 2 weeks ago in New York, there was something called the Clinton Global Initiative. They had their annual meeting. Tony Blair was there, Hillary Clinton was there, and so many others of the wealthy and the powerful in the world, heads of major corporations, banks, financial institutions, and there they were deciding what to do with billions. But were they doing it in secret or privately? Of course not. They made sure that they had the biggest press office in town at the time. They made sure that they invited all of the major news networks, terrestrial television, satellite television, cable television. They were just begging for people to come and admire them for their charity. How generous they were. How they were going to solve the problems of the third world. How they were going to engage in flood relief in Bangladesh. How they were going to solve the problems of AIDS in Africa. How they were going to heal the world as they saw it. How they were going to deal with global warming. And it was all posturing. It was all politics. It was all absolutely insincere. That tends to be the way in which big charitable donations work in our world. How many really important, powerful people are concerned any longer to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than please an electorate or journalists? Not so many. But for us as Muslims, this doesn't matter too much because we know that what counts is the ihsan with which something is done. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبُّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts from the people of ihsan, from the people who do things well. Not just the people who obey the outer forms and rules and regulations of the sharia, although we must. Not just the people who believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them, although insha'Allah He will, but the people who do it with beautiful adab, with courtesy, and with self-criticism, as Imam al-Shafi'i, radiallahu anhu, used to do, thinking that the beggar was actually doing him a favor rather than him doing the beggar a favor. How many people today actually think like that? Do the great guns of the Clinton Global Initiative really think that the poor are doing them a favor? Nothing could be further from the modern way of imagining how charity and poor relief operate. But as Muslims, we are called upon to remind the world that this is an important principle, not just in Islam, but I suspect in all of the great religious families of mankind. Everybody truly believes in charity, in sadaqah, and it's the responsibility of the Muslim ummah to stand up at the forefront, even if we don't have more wealth than other ummahs, perhaps to show how it is done with sincerity, without a fanfare, without hoopla, without a media circus, how it is done sincerely, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring far more barakah and far more goodness to the needy of this earth than he ever will through the insincere posturings of politicians and merchant bankers. And as we see, the more they talk about debt relief, global poverty, global warming, and all of those things, the more things seem to get worse. They transfer billions to Africa, things don't get better. They transfer billions in order to try and improve the situation with AIDS, with sexually transmitted diseases, with the current plague of global warming, things just seem to get worse and worse. Why is this? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. He only accepts good deeds from the people of Ihsan, the people of Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. He's not going to make a difference to these fundamental sicknesses in the world, the sickness of poverty and inequality, the sickness of starvation, the sickness of sexually transmitted diseases, the sickness, the deep sickness of global warming. He's not going to cure those fundamental punishments that are being visited upon our planet if people are just posing for the cameras. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. He will only accept from the people of Ihsan. And if the people of this ummah make just a small effort, but a sincere effort, more good will come than the mega dollars that are being poured into these pseudo-projects by the wealthy and the proud and the pharaohs of this age. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this dimension of Ramadan, to make us people of generosity in Ramadan, to keep us away from the punishment of the grave which awaits the miserly, and to remind us of the need to do this, particularly in Ramadan, and to heal the world through the efforts and the ikhlas and the sadaqah of this ummah. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ.